Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Michael Rise V Show here on Channel 9. I'm Michael Lehman, technical evangelist for Microsoft, along with my co-host Bob Walsh, managing director of Safari Software. And today we're going to be speaking with Dave Collins of Shareware Promotions. Bob has his new book, Clear Blogging, which is just out, and he's also running a weekly series on his blog, MyMicroRiseV.com, in which he's evaluating websites. And so if you'd like to be a victim, or a volunteer, go to MyMicroRiseV.com and drop Bob a line. And on the ProjectGlidePath.net site, where I'm running an evangelism program for MicroRiseVs, we are now featuring the Project GlidePath Windows Vista Spotlight. If you're a MicroRiseV and you have an application that runs on Windows Vista, please come and click on the link at right and submit your application. And if you're one of the first 30 companies to pass our compatibility tests, you'll receive a free Zune. And in any event, you'll get listed in the spotlight and covered on my blog and in a number of other venues here at Microsoft, and we'll promote your application as a MicroRiseV. So now, without further ado, Bob Walsh and Dave Collins. Take it away, Bob.
Thanks, Michael. Today we have with us Dave Collins, who is the founder and chief bottle washer and busy man around town of Shareware Promotions. Shareware Promotions is basically a micro ISV without software based in the UK. What they do is they work with micro ISVs a la Shareware Authors and startup companies to get the word out about their product. They do software marketing, SEO, submissions, and Google AdWords, which is going to bring us to the topic today. Dave can talk a lot about a lot of different things that are useful to micro ISVs, but for today we're going to focus on Google AdWords and what a micro ISV needs to know about them. And we're going to start with the question of, let's say that you're just about to start selling your micro ISV product or website, and you know Google's out there, at least you should, and now the question is, do you go for AdWords or not? That's the first question for Dave here.
Thanks, Bob. I think the answer to that really depends on the state of the micro ISV. If the company is ready to sell, and if specifically the website is really ready to, if you like, sing the praises of the software and really do a good marketing job and sales job, then absolutely there's no reason to hang around. The sooner you can get your software, push it in front of the eyes of the people who are interested in it on Google, the better. But the website does need to be ready in terms of doing a good job of presenting the product, the benefits, the features, and basically taking the user, the visitor, by the hand, leading them through the product and convincing them that they want to, at the very least, try it, if not buy it.
Well, you know, it sounds like besides putting forth your micro ISV user proposition, there may be some elements in there that you have to contend with as far as search engine optimization and meta words and all those other good things that are out there. What would be the three things besides having a ready-to-show, good-looking, intelligently designed website that expresses your marketing position? What other things do you have to cover before you get into AdWords?
The main difference, I mean, if you're comparing regular SEO channels with AdWords, the two main differences are, first of all, with SEO, it's a lot of work, a lot of experimentation, and especially new websites can often wait 6, 9, 12 months or longer before they're actually showing up in the index. The difference with AdWords is that it's up there more or less within minutes. You open your account, set up some ads, put in your keywords, and before you know it's up quite literally minutes after you open the account.
So
the problem with
like
it is that
AdWords
you're paying for it.
AdWords comes before SEO.
Sorry?
It sounds like AdWords would be the thing you want to do before you get into the whole sort of SEO briar patch.
I'd say, for me, it's not a case of either or, it's a case of both. The advantage of AdWords is that it is instant. You can be up there immediately. The disadvantage is, whereas with SEO, you learn as you go along, and mistakes don't really cost you any more than rankings. mistakes in AdWords can end up costing you a fair amount of money. So you do need to know what you're doing before you just start burning through your expensive clicks.
Well, maybe the place to start then is, okay, if AdWords are the right thing to do when you're about to start selling, what would be your sort of, 2-minute view of what that's going to look like for that micro ISV? What sort of things can they expect to see happen there?
Well, assuming that the person responsible for the AdWords account has got a reasonable grasp, what you can get from AdWords is an incredibly qualified stream of visitors, of traffic coming to your website, in the sense of you are in complete control exactly what people are looking for. So you get, say, if they're looking for these precise things, show them the ads. And the beauty of the system is, if they see the ads and they're not impressed, they're not going to click on it, you're not going to be charged. So really, it's more or less unparalleled, in the sense of the company can direct the exact people they want to come to visit their website and see their product or products. They're in complete control, and not only that, but they can even put a value on each and say how much you're actually prepared for each of these visitors. So there's an amazing degree of control there. That is really quite different, in a sense, from regular SEO, where realistically you're always going to get a lot of traffic coming from Google and the other search engines through regular SEO who aren't actually interested in what you're looking for. There's a whole load of reasons why, but really that costs you nothing other than bandwidth, which is, especially today, it's remarkably cheap.
I just wanted to jump in for a second, Dave, and ask you to define what SEO is, in case somebody doesn't know that particular acronym.
Sorry, yes. SEO stands for Search Engine Optimization. It's basically a process of making sure, in essence, it's a process of making sure that the search engines can find the material that's on your site, read it and index it, and that the people looking for whatever it is, whether it's product or information, services that you may be selling from your site or pushing from the site, they find it. So it's basically making sure that your site is well set up for the search engines.
Great.
So that, as I was saying, the key difference with AdWords is you're not only in control over on what it is that people are going to be looking for that brings them to the site, but you're even in full control of exactly what they're going to see when they arrive. There's no random factor where they may see certain pages of your site. You can make sure people searching for a specific phrase get to land on a page on your website that is completely tailored around that specific phrase. So if you get it right, it's pretty much the most targeted form of marketing that exists.
It sounds like one of the things that I get by implication there is that if you go out and you're spending money on AdWords, you should not just point them to the front page of your website. You should be pointing them toward a landing page that is tailored to the word that got them there in the first place.
That's right. There are occasions where the main index page, the home page of the website, will work very well for specific ads and specific keywords. But generally speaking, if you're maintaining an AdWords account, by default, the ad shouldn't just point to the same page. You're missing out really on a lot of the flexibility of being able to set up these tailored pages. So bearing in mind, you're paying for every single click. It's extremely important that you can do absolutely everything in your power to make sure that once they click on your ad, that they find exactly what they're looking for and they stay on your website.
Let me ask another question. No, go ahead, Bob.
Okay. On the keyword side, how does a micro ISV go find, their starter kit of keywords?
The process is actually very simple. In a sense, it's not dissimilar from the same process as regular SEO, the search engine optimization. The key mistake that people make is that they focus on the keywords that they think that users may be searching for. In actual fact, this can often prove to be very, very different from what it is that the majority of the people out there are searching for. So the good news is there are a whole load of different sites and services out there that make finding these keywords very, very easy. Google themselves within the ad, within your AdWords account, actually have a keyword tool, which is better than nothing, but it's very, very imprecise and it's very, very basic. The couple of services that we work with and recommend are WordTracker at wordtracker.com and also Keyword Discovery at keyworddiscovery.com. And both of these site services tap into massive databases. So basically you put in a word that you think people may be looking for and you get all the synonyms, the variations, associated words, and you can actually see for all these lists, you can see for each word exactly how many searches to get a good feel for how much demand there is out there. So growing the keyword list is a critical part of the process, but with Word Tracker and Keyword Discovery, it's actually a very, very easy process.
Well, let me kind of give you a hypothetical here. Let's say I do a micro ISV web 2.0 service for nurseries, and it's basically an accounting package for nurseries so they can track what they sell and the plants and, you know, the basic stuff, but of course it's on the web, so it makes it shinier and easier to use. And I'm going to charge, let's just say for the sake of argument, $30 a month. And I want people to come find this. So would a good keyword be nursery or nursery software, or am I not going the right direction there?
It's a good start. It's a very good start. But the point is that, I mean, really, in a sense, the base, the starting point for your searches are all common sense. So if it's nursery software, then obviously you should be looking, you should actually be looking for that as a starting point, if nothing else, just to get the idea, just to get an idea for what people may be searching for. The reason why you really need services like Word Tracker and Keyword Discovery is I suspect there isn't a person in the world who can tell me off the top of their head how many people a day or even a week may actually be searching for the phrase nursery software. But when you run a phrase like that through these services, you not only find out, it could be anywhere from literally zero to hundreds a day. I suspect it's closer to zero, but you just don't know. But you get a feel for how many people are searching for them, and you actually get a feel for what other phrases they may be searching for that are related. Now, while you're actually talking, I actually ran nursery software through one of these companies, and I see there's no one searching for nursery software.
Oh,
but there are
okay.
a predicted two searches a day for tree nursery software, for the phrase tree nursery software. Now, in a million years, I would never have guessed that's a phrase that people are searching for. But the services like this make finding these phrases very, very easy.
Let me jump in and also ask another question, and you know, partly because you know, this is going to run on Channel 9 here at Microsoft, and of course, as everyone knows, we also make a search engine, as do other people. In the process of thinking about these things, I guess I have two questions. One of them is, you know, right now, are there any viable alternatives to Google AdWords, and if so, is it something that you would recommend a micro ISV look at right now? I understand that the lion's share of the market is obviously right now in what Google's doing. But how would you advise people to, if at all, to consider other search engines and other advertising things? What I believe is happening is that our Ad Center product is now accepting advertisers, and in some future date will also accept something as allowing people to put links on their blogs and so forth to drive traffic.
Right. In answer to your question, there are actually a lot of different alternatives that are out there. At the present time, I'm sure 99.9% of people listening to this will already understand Google is by far the most dominant in terms of size and in terms of really return on time invested, in terms of how much you're going to spend on this and how much money and time and how many people you're going to see at your website. In the past, I mean, really, the first big one historically was GoTo, that then became Overture, that then became Yahoo Search Marketing. Now, and anyone who knows me and who's heard me speak at the conferences knows that I'm no great fan of Overture or Yahoo Search Marketing as they are now. I mean, really, mainly because they haven't evolved with time. Aside from fairly regularly changing their name, their actual system is still stuck more or less the same state it was 5-6 years ago, if not more. There are other options as well. There's a lot of pay-per-click schemes. You mentioned specifically Microsoft Ad Center. We've dipped our toes in. We set up an account a while ago and played around with Ad Center. And my theory on it is this is the one to watch in terms of if anyone's got the resources and the expertise to make a new scheme really work, then clearly Microsoft's got to be pretty much at the top of that list. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen with MSN Ad Center. But at this point in time, a problem that a lot of micro ISVs have is limited resources in terms of time. And at this point in time, everything that we've worked with has suggested that in terms of return, AdWords is the one to be working with right now. And at this point in time, nothing else comes close.
That makes sense. And one other question I had for you is, I'm a micro ISV, I've written an application, now I'm thinking about doing AdWords. How much money per month should I be, you know, expecting to spend on AdWords, or what is a reasonable amount of money per month to spend, and what kind of return do I get for that? What are typical results, I guess?
Okay, that was a variation of the question that I was dreading, actually, that I was hoping I wouldn't be asked. It's a question that a lot of people ask me and our company. The bottom line is, if I take a step back, if you don't mind, that there's two ways to succeed with Google AdWords. One is with expertise and finesse, and the other one's money. And you actually can completely do really, really run quite a good AdWords campaign with absolutely no expertise and knowledge and just throw money at it, and you'll do reasonably. You can do reasonably. I'm sure you can probably guess in many industries, money wins over expertise, hands down. But one of the things that's quite interesting about the micro ISV industry is that a lot of these companies, they're not sitting on huge amounts of money, and they're not prepared to just throw X thousands every day, every week, or every month into AdWords and just hope that it works. So they basically lean more towards trying to get the upper hand in terms of the control and the expertise as opposed to the money. Now, the bottom line of how much a company needs to spend, it's absolutely impossible to answer, because the factors that will affect the amount that you're going to have to pay per click will first of all be your competitors. If, let's say, hypothetically, your company has 5-6 competitors and they're all throwing a lot of money at their ads and are paying a lot of money per click, then realistically, at least initially, you're also going to have to spend a lot per click just to get towards the top of that list. The other point is that Google set an actual initial value of of each keyword. It seems arbitrary, but I don't believe that it is. I mean, it essentially demand and supply, and they know if a company is prepared to spend $10 per click on a particular keyword, well, why should they sell it for 5 cents? So there's Google and there's your competition. They're the two main factors that will actually set how much you have to spend per click. So when you add that together, you've got a combination of how much you want to spend per click, how much you actually want to spend per day. So if, for instance, you've got a $10 budget, a $10 daily budget, but you actually have to spend $2 per click, it's not really going to get you very far. You're going to get five, possibly 6 clicks a day. And that's it. You've hit your daily budget and nothing else is going to happen that day. Whereas other people, perhaps they're going after keywords that you don't have to spend anywhere near as much money. For the same $10 a day, they could be literally getting hundreds of clicks for the same money. it really depends on the keywords that you're after, how much other people are prepared to spend on them, and really, most crucially, critically in a way, is how well you can work the AdWords system. Because if you can work the system, you can turn it around, you can actually get more traffic, more clicks, spend less. But if you don't really know what you're doing and you're more at Google's mercy, then you'll actually get less traffic and spend more. So the bottom line is, a dollar a day might be enough to get a reasonable number of clicks, or $200 a day might not be enough at all.
Hmm. And then how you do your job with AdWords can really have that type of a range of impact.
It can have a massive, massive impact. A very important point to understand is that the Google AdWords system, by default, is unbelievably heavily biased towards Google. And it goes without saying, it's not going to surprise anyone that Google AdWords works to the favor of Google. But by default, the system sets up a whole series of defaults that are actually quite bad for the advertiser, but very, very good for Google. And an example I often give at conferences to try and get this point across, I give an example where a fictitious company spends $100 a day on their AdWords account, and every single day they make consistently $120 worth of sales. So from their point of view, to spend $100, make $120, it's only $20 profit, but it's, in a sense, money for nothing. So that company might consider the option, well, instead of spending $100, let's spend $1,000. So then we'll be making $200 a day for nothing. In the examples I give, what may actually be happening in this example where they're spending $100, getting $120 back, what they may not realize is of the $100 being spent each day, only 20 is actually generating the $120 worth of sales, and the other 80 is thrown straight into the bin or into the pockets of Google, depending on how you look at it. And this, it's a far-fetched example, but it's a scenario that we're very, very used to seeing. So I'm absolutely take my hat off with utmost respect for Google for the genius that underlies the system. In a sense, they're running a casino. Everyone always knows the house always wins in a casino. But Google's stroke of genius is that even though you're actually losing, you walk out of the casino with a big grin on your face and you think that you're walking away a winner.
Okay. Well, it sounds like on my little list that I'm making of how to do AdWords right, I've got two things so far. First off, I want to get a good, healthy pool of keywords. If I can find keywords that aren't going to cost me an arm and a leg as far as Google thinks the market for those are, that's a good thing. Micro ISVs don't have budgets where they can afford typically a $100 a day ad buy. More likely, they're going to be spending maybe $15-$20 a day, at least initially. If they spend $500-$600 in a month, that's a significant outlay. The second thing sounds like they need to really bone up on how Google really works. Don't take the defaults as being in their best interest, but get a real, the time they spend there will be time well spent learning how the system really works. Does that make sense as a recap
Sense. Well, one other point that perhaps I've not emphasized anywhere near well enough is the keywords are obviously very important, but what's a critical factor is that the keywords have to be as tightly targeted as possible. So as an example, if the product that you're selling is an email client specifically for small businesses.
Okay.
Then if you go and open and set up an AdWords account and you're going after the keyword email, it's AdWords suicide. You're going to be getting a massive, massive number of people typing an email who actually aren't interested in your product. Whereas if you target the more obscure phrases, like email application for businesses, email application for small businesses, email application, micro ISV, all these smaller, more obscure combinations, you're not going to get anywhere near as many people searching for this. But those that are should be a lot more interested, really, in what it is that you're selling. It's a very, very important factor that your list of keywords has to be very, very much tightly focused.
So you want to tie your keywords back to how tight you focus your marketing on your marketing segment. In other words, if you've got a product out there that's an email productivity application, it might be nice to say, well, I'd like to sell it to everybody in the world who uses email. But the reality really is you need to start with maybe the 25 to 35-year-old people who run their own businesses in the IT industry in the northwest part of the United States, just to, segment that down and then focus on those keywords.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is goes back to understanding how the system works. I don't want to get lost in the specifics, but basically Google have what are called matching options. By default, a matching option for keywords, any keyword that you add by default in Google is broad match. Now, what that means, all this is information that's available on Google AdWords help. But broad match by default means if you bid on the word email, for instance, which we've already established would be a bad idea, by bidding on the word email, if someone searches for free email program, they're going to see it. They may see your ad. That will trigger it. If they're searching for Mac email software, they're going to see it because the word email's in there. If they look for free email, for send email, for email server, for email client, for email protection, email viruses, all of these things have the potential to trigger your ad by default. So again, I'm just using this as an example to reinforce how absolutely important it is to really learn how the AdWords system works before you even think about actually dropping any money onto it, other than sort of dipping your toes in as an experiment at the beginning. There are so many mistakes that you can make in Google AdWords account, and there are so many mistakes that we see people make time and time again that really cost them a lot more money than they need spent.
Dave, one of the things that we heard when we talked with Joel Spolsky, and we've heard from other guests, and obviously we've talked about at conferences, is the fact that micro ISVs in general, their skill sets are biased in the technical direction and not in the sales and marketing direction. It sounds to me like some of the things you're saying are sort of basic marketing thinking. If you had a micro ISV come to you and want to get some help, is there any particular websites or books or courses or anything that you might recommend to one of them to beef up their knowledge of sales and marketing before you start to work with them on AdWords, so they can start thinking in the sort of proper viewpoints, from where they need to be? Because obviously if they're not even sort of looking at things from the right place, as you said, they could waste a lot of money, and even if they used your service, they could be, they could chew up a lot of time and not get the results they wanted out of them. So do you have any recommendations of things people might do, prior to spending money?
There's a lot of information out there, as I'm sure you can imagine. The problem is really differentiating really between the good sources and, well, let's say the not so good resources. There's a huge number of different forums, some of which are very worthwhile. The Joel on Software forums are a good source of knowledge. There's the Association of Shared Professionals. There's a book that's quite a good introduction. Some guy called Walsh, according to the cover, Micro ISV from Vision to Reality. I suspect the name rings a bell, which covers a lot of these, a lot of the basics and the not so basics. But the bottom line is, there's no shortage of resources. That really, in a sense, the issue isn't lack of information that's out there. The issue is how to actually recognize the good information and how to find it. And really, very often, the best option is simply to look around, use common sense. I mean, we can all spot a good forum, one that's really worthwhile and filled with good information, from the one that people are perhaps not quite in tune and not quite with the vision, take their businesses where they actually want to go. But, if we're talking specifically about AdWords, the marketing basics are absolutely, absolutely critical. There are a lot of very good developers out there who need to really polish their marketing skills, because the two really do go hand in hand. And when it comes to AdWords, you're right, you've got to have these marketing basics, and you have to know with AdWords, you have to know how the system works. Both of them are equally important. I mean, I'd never name names, but nowadays our company turns away more companies than we actually choose to work with and send a price quote for, simply because we don't believe that the product or the website or the company is ready, if you like, to actually start spending money on the marketing.
One of the things that Joel was saying, and I wanted to see if you would corroborate this based on your experience with your clients, is that he said his almost number one rule is never start a company by yourself, because you can't wear both hats successfully, both the marketing and sales hat and the technology and support hat. What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree more. It's a beautiful, connected, wide world that we live in, and selling software on the internet, on the web, has never been so easy. The problem is, these massive doors have been thrown open to the whole world, and the bottom line is that unless you're incredibly lucky, there's a lot of competition out there, and unless you are unbelievably lucky and you actually are a talented businessman, a good marketer, you're good with figures, you can handle the accounts, a fantastic coder, a fantastic website designer, your graphic design skills are superb, then none of us at all can actually, it's not really about wearing two hats, it's more like wearing about 15 or 20 hats. None of us are in a position to be able to do that and hope to excel at really any of them, never mind all of them. So I'd completely agree, and the problem is small businesses don't like spending money. We don't like spending money. We'd rather pay ourselves our salary rather than pass it on to a third company who are going to handle different things on our behalf. But it's just one of those realities of doing business. A reality of doing business is you do have to spend, whether it's spend on your AdWords account, spend on someone to handle your AdWords account, pay an accountant to do your admin and your paperwork. You just have to spend, and trying to do everything on your own is a pretty much 100% guaranteed way to make sure that the potential of your company is going to be capped.
That sounds like that's a guaranteed way to make that old adage true about the way to make a small fortune in the software business is start with a large one.
Right, yep. Very, very true.
Well,
it sounds like maybe what we need is the equivalent of Match.com, except for programmers and marketing people and salespeople and so forth.
Well, I think in a sense that there are all these forums out there. I mean, there are the Associated Share Professionals and Joel on Software and all these places that, in a way, if you use them correctly, that is what they do. They put the marketing people in touch with the developers, because if you have a great product and someone who really knows what they're doing with the marketing and the sales, it's a fantastic combination. But aside from skill sets, I mean, how many of us are sitting around each day wondering how to fill the last 3 or 4 hours of our working day?
Well, when I counted up the number of hats you have to wear when I wrote the book that you, by the way, nicely plugged, thank you, I got to 47, and then I
right.
stopped. And I agree that obviously it really helps if you have two people who have different skill sets, one more technical, one more toward marketing and people and that sort of thing. But I'd just like to say, for all the solo micro ISVs out there, it is possible to do both. It is not easy, and you will wish to God that you had more time every day, but there are ways of getting somewhere with it, and it is possible. But I have to say, it would have been easier, at least for me, if I had had a partner who could have dealt with either the coding part of things or the marketing part of things instead of having to really deal with all those things. I want to come back, though, to AdWords for a second, because so far we've been talking about you're going to start selling a product. Well, what if you already are? You already have an AdWords campaign or two or three. And now the question is, well, you know, I'm getting some results. How do you know if 80 of those $100 you're spending are actually going to waste? And if they are going to waste, how can you take your AdWords campaign up a level?
All right, so it's a very good question. In terms of knowing whether it's going to waste or not, that the simple answer is tracking. You absolutely have to have some form of tracking in everything that you do in your AdWords account. The beauty of the system is it is more or less set up for this. It's heavily geared towards you being able to track whatever you may be interested in tracking, you can. Now, the two things you need some form of tracking. That personally, I prefer to stick with the simple, stick with the basics, or you could go for Google's option where they actually have built into the AdWords system the conversion tracking. The problem with with Google's conversion tracking is it's very, very limited. It's cookie-based, and it expires after 30 days. So that, for a lot of people selling software, that may be very far from ideal. But there's nothing whatsoever to stop you tracking, putting a different tracking referral code into each of the ads that you do, each of the ads that you're running, and then to actually follow this in your raw server logs using some nice web log analysis software to actually see which of the ads are working. And you don't need to get bogged down in the technical side of things, but if, for example, you see that one ad may be sending 100 people a day to your website, if the average time spent on your website is 2 seconds, then you know something really isn't right with that ad. On the other hand, if the same ad sending 100 people a day and the average time spent on the website is 1.5 minutes and they're looking on average at 2 or 3 pages, then you can say something's actually working quite well here. And it's very, very easy. Really, all you need is to add the tracking and you need the log analysis software to actually handle that. In terms of the other side of your question, how to expand an existing campaign, really, in a nutshell, there are two areas that you focus on. You focus on the keywords and you focus on the ads. And in a sense, the process is the same for each of them. There's a sort of three-part process where you research, you carry out the research, you then expand what you already have in your account, and from there you track and purge. And what I mean by that is track in the weblogs, keep an eye on how these are actually performing. The ones that are no good, you just throw them away, delete them. The ones that are good, you leave there and you build on them. So you're sort of basically demolishing the weaknesses and you're building on the strengths. And that's really an ongoing process that you need to be carrying out within your AdWords account, both for keywords and the actual ads themselves.
One thing I would just add to that, Dave, is that as you delete those items that aren't working out, it might be a good idea to enter them in your business or development journal just so you don't make the same mistake twice. It's very easy as we process all this information to forget that we've actually gone down a particular road. And that's one of the things I mentioned in a post a little while ago at My Micro ISV about programmer productivity, and that's having a log of what you decide to do, and that's the sort of thing that would fit right in there.
Right. I agree. However, with AdWords, there's a catch there. There are two catches to that approach, specifically with AdWords. The first is that with time, there's going to be a massive amount of data that builds up there. But more importantly, the second problem is that people's searches and search patterns actually do change with time.
Ah.
And so what doesn't work tomorrow might actually work fantastically well in 3 months or 6 months or 12 months. And you just don't know. Something that's important to remember about any time you're ever looking at one of your ads is that you've always got to remember, unless your ad is the only ad being displayed on the page in the Google search results, your ad is always going to be next to or possibly surrounded by other people's ads. So how your ad actually appears can, and how well it actually works, can be massively influenced by the other ads. As an example, let's say you're, again, we'll go to the same example, you're selling some sort of email client. Mm-hmm. Let's say there are five other companies all bidding against you. So anyone searching for email client for businesses will see five ads and yours. If the other four, if the other five ads are all displaying the prices and yours isn't, that could actually work against you in quite a big way. If, on the other hand, the opposite's true, you're the only person displaying a price, and it, let's say, hypothetically, the ticket price for your software is quite high, they actually may be put off by that, and the other ads that aren't displaying the price may be more appealing and get the clicks.
Hmm.
So in a way, there's a catch, and this is part of the this is part of the beauty, or I suppose the evil of the AdWords system. Depending on how you look at it, you're absolutely forever chasing your tail, and there's no shortage of information, there's no shortage of data, more or less on tap. But it's one of these examples that really very often the deeper you actually dig, the more confused you can get, and sometimes you just got to weigh it up, make a quick decision, and just throw it out there and see.
Well, let me ask another question, kind of turning on that particular point. How often should I be monitoring my AdWords campaign? I mean, how often should I be in that dashboard looking at this information? How much of my time in life should I be spending on AdWords?
After I get set up and running. How often to check? It's a very, very important question, actually. At the absolute least, I would recommend a very bare minimum that someone be checking their AdWords account, spending some time there every 2 weeks, but really it should be weekly. The other important point to consider is when you actually make changes to your AdWords account, whether it's adding keywords, deleting them, or ads, adding or deleting ads, it doesn't matter. The point is you've always got to allow these changes time to actually work and kick in and produce the results and data before you make any decisions. So you can't go to the other extreme and sort of add five ads into your ad group tonight and tomorrow night to be checking, see how it's working, and deleting the three of them that aren't producing anything. We generally recommend a 7-day cycle. And the reason for that is once your ads are up, give it at the very, very minimum 7 full days to really work. The reason that we say 7 days is that you may well see very, very different patterns over a weekend and the week. Probably, almost certainly you will. Some companies choose not to display their ads at weekends. Some choose only to display their ads at the weekends. But you have to have a full 7 days. Or blocks of 7 days in order to make an informed decision about what's working and what isn't. Now, assuming you're going to be checking your AdWords account once a week and working on it, the amount of time that you are spending there really depends on how much money you're spending there. I mean, there's a common sense approach. If you're spending $5 a day, so $150 a month, you don't want to be logging into your AdWords account once a week and spending 4 or 5 hours there. If, on the other hand, you're spending, let's say, $100 a day, so you're looking at in the region of $3,000 a month, you also don't want to have your weekly AdWords session only being 5 minutes. It's just not enough. You need to get that balance, but it's roughly in proportion to how much you're spending there.
Hmm. Okay. Any final advice for micro ISVs when it comes to Google AdWords?
I'd say to sum it up more or less, it's that I always say that AdWords is usually a money maker, but not always. And the important thing to make sure that you are making a sufficient return on your AdWords is simply to track. You absolutely have to track. It's absolutely critical. it's equally important to keep up to date with what's actually happening. Now, Google have this fairly irritating habit of they add changes on a continual basis to the AdWords system, and there's nowhere, they don't have a what's new page on the website. They don't have a what's new location that you can go to see what these actual changes are. They do have their Inside AdWords blog, but they tend to only focus on the big changes. They make a lot of subtle changes that can make quite a big difference, and it's never written up anywhere. So I would also recommend keeping up to date with the news on Google AdWords. It's very, very, very important. Some of the changes that they make can actually have a massive impact on, well, basically on your bill, on your monthly bill, and on the return that you're making. Inside AdWords is definitely a good place to start. We actually have a blog on our website that only deals with AdWords changes. That's at sharepromotions.com/AdWords. You may go for a week or longer where we don't post anything there, because the only time we add something is when AdWords actually apply a change to the system. But we will come across it very quickly, and then we tend to put it up very quickly as well. The bottom line, I do like my analogies, and I often like to say that AdWords is, in a sense, to look at your AdWords account like you should be looking at a car, that you need to actually look after it, to keep it safe and productive. If you have your car and it sits in the driveway and you never go anywhere, you're not going to gain from it. But equally, leave it in the driveway with the engine running and no one sitting at the driver's seat is an invitation to disaster. You need to treat the account well. You need to really, really learn how to use it. Really invest the time in learning how the AdWords system works. And as long as you do, as long as you know how the system works, you track all of your efforts, it's more or less impossible to lose.
Okay. Michael, any last questions?
No. I think this has been a great show. Dave, I wanted to thank you very much for coming on the MicroISV show.
One thing I wanted to point out to our listeners just before we go here is that sharewarepromotions.com has a newsletter. And there are a lot of things that we haven't covered about Google AdWords. For instance, the actual headlines that you write and how to write them. But I just got my nice February 2007 issue of Shareware Promotions Competitive Edge newsletter here. There's an article in here about copywriting for developers. So I would recommend anyone listening to this podcast, if you haven't already signed up for this free newsletter that Dave is doing, do it.
Thank you very much. I would add the address as well, which is sharepromotions.com/newsletter, and all the information is there. It's similar to our AdWords blog in approach. It only goes out once a month, and it's 100% unique content, which all too rare nowadays, I think.
All right, and we will include on the Channel 9 post, of course, links to all the things we've been talking about. And Dave, if you have any other links besides the Joel on Software forum and the other forums you were talking about marketing, please send them along. We'll put them in the post.
Great. Thank you very much. I will do.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you very much, Bob and Michael.
And thank you. All right. So this is Michael Lehman, co-host of the MicroISV show here, telling you that that's the end of our interview with Dave Collins of sharewarepromotions.com. And come back next week for another podcast here on the MicroISV show. And check out Bob's new book at clearblogging.com. And don't forget to check out the Project GlidePath Windows Vista Spotlight opportunity if you're a MicroISV to get your application featured and promoted by Microsoft at projectglidepath.net. And for all of us at the MicroISV show, we'll see you next week.